it's our anniversary. Anniversary. The first thing I'll do is run straight to you. It's our anniversary.
So, this episode 50 is a celebratory, to a degree, rehash, pat on the back, a thank you for our listeners, our producer, each other, right?
All of the above. So let's get ready to rumble.
Oh, that was so bad. Let's get ready to what?
Rumble. Much better.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So, Christine, what have been one or two, top of your mind, of your favorite moments on the 0 Hour podcast? Was it my antics? I'm giving you time to think, so I'm stretching it out a bit. Was it my antics? Was it perhaps the drive to Wobble every week, every month? Or was it a guest in particular? I have a couple. Dude, every guest we've
I can't. So I could never pick a favorite episode, I don't think, because I feel like every episode has been really cool. Like, I don't really have a particular episode that I can say is, like, absolutely my favorite. I love that it has been an opportunity over 50 different shows to get to know people that you and I have known so much better and to get to share stories that hopefully have been hopeful and inspiring to our listeners.
You know, it's funny, when we first started doing this and our first 30 guests, we used to do like these prep conversations, right? Offline, where we would have like 30 to 45 minutes just to get to know the person, warm up a little bit, and give them the guardrail session.
Yes.
Not that we don't need that, but we kind of don't have a lot of time for that because we are busy parents and professionals.
Yes.
And now, for the most part, it's we got like 2 to 3 minutes with them before we go live. I asked them, have you listened to an episode yet to get familiar with the antics?
Right? Yes.
Particularly my antics.
Your antics.
And then I think the general kind of inquisitive nature of us both keeps it fresh.
I agree. I think we've evolved in our ability to flow with or feel comfortable enough on air that we can flow with our guests.
You know, I remember the first episode, the first seconds of recording was you saying, oh my God, we're actually doing this.
Yes.
Yes. And that has led into hours and hours and hours of
Doing this.
I think one of my, the only guest I was nervous with is who? Who do you think I was nervous with?
Dave McGilvery?
Dave McGilvery, Schmilvery, whatever. Kevin O'Connor.
Yes, you were nervous with Kevin O'Connor because he had been your boss.
He had been my boss, and he's kind of on a personal pedestal, right? But meanwhile, we got NHL and Olympic athletes we're talking to that I'm not nervous around. And in particular, the NHL player we had, Bobby Butler, right?
Yes.
So Bobby came into the studio, and one of the first things I said to him was, I'm like, you're a professional athlete? I'm bigger than you.
Yes, you did say that.
And I was like, 8 inches bigger than he is, right? I'm like a half a foot taller. And he's like, he goes, you don't have to be big anymore. You just have to be fast.
Yes.
Right?
And
I was like, all right. And what's the one question we always ask our athletes? You know, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Is it consistency or is it talent?
Yes.
Is it practice or talent?
Yes.
Right?
And they all answer with it's consistency. It's practice.
Yes.
Right? Like
it's hard work.
Correct. It's so doing work, as Kobe Bryant used to say, right? Like he used to go into practice 2 hours earlier, right? Do his own thing, then practice the team, and then do like an hour or two like after that. It's if you have this, you know, like you know, my very Jewish mother would say, like, well, if you don't use it, you'll lose it, right?
Yes,
so,
yes.
You know, you have to hone your skills and use it. And you can't let that talent go to waste by being lazy.
And I feel like we've been honing our talent.
That's deep. We've been honing our talent. How many active listeners do we have now? Or active downloads? Was it 3,000? 4,000?
Yeah. I think we're just about at 3,000. Wow. Which is a big deal for us.
And I think they come as far away from, I guess, India, right?
Yeah, we have a global listenership, yeah, which is kind of cray.
Yeah, we have like a European contingency, right?
Yes.
We have a
South American contingency.
What do you think they think of us? Like, are we comedy or are we the face of America? I hope not.
Ooh, I hope not too.
Do you imagine being learning English and listening to me, right? And listening to the shite that comes out of my mouth because I have very few filters. And that's how you learn, you know, in American humor and or conversation. Ooh.
Yeah, I guess. What has been the favorite part of your coming in to record once a month? Because that's what we've been doing, basically. We've been coming in to record 4 episodes every month. And
I was born to do this. Well, not to do this, but
To be on.
So as most people know, by profession, I am a software salesperson. So that means I am selling technologies and software and showing value. And I'm at my most comfortable when I'm in front of a room.
Yes.
Right? So my fear of public speaking wasn't always what it is today. Like right now, I can talk to anyone, say anything. As a matter of fact, Christina was telling you about the hike I had last week. I saw a group of Boy Scouts on the trail with their den mother and their den leaders. And I'm like, what is this? Like a family outing? They're like, no, we're Boy Scouts. I put up my 2 fingers. I'm like, do the Boy Scouts credo with me. And I had like 16 kids in the woods. We are the Boy Scouts. However, we are the Boy Scouts of America. Above all,
hilarious.
It was really funny. But when I was a youth coming up in, you know, sales, and I used to be so nervous, like sitting, waiting for my time to come up, waiting to get prompted by my boss. And in 3, 2, 1, then I would stand up and like do my thing. It was nerve wracking. And I guess just once you do something, practice. The nervousness goes away and you become more confident and it becomes like second nature. So I'll throw it right back at you. What have you learned about, all right, ready? What have you learned about yourself in the last 50 episodes?
I've learned that, about myself.
Oh, chante.
I have learned that connection is what drives me. And that every single story or every single person I meet has a story that I can personalize or internalize on my own so that I learn something from every single person we end up meeting.
Okay, I'm going to unpack that a little bit. But before I do, and remind me to unpack that, before I do, you said every single person. So to the audience, to the listenership, a lot of times Christine comes up with the talent we talk to, right? And she runs it by me just in conversation. And I'm just like, what? Like, what the hell is that person going to talk about? I'm not interested in. And every time I thought the topic or the conversation or the person wasn't going to be interesting, I was proved wrong.
Yes.
So now when Christine's like, yeah, we have a funeral director coming in. And he's going to talk to us about, funeral directing. We actually don't, but I don't.
But that's not a bad idea. We might try to do that.
Actually, mm-hmm. I'm thinking about that now. It could be interesting. Right?
It could be interesting.
That's an interesting career. Looking at dead people.
Well, do you remember that show on HBO, 6 Feet Under?
Loved it. Yes.
There's a story in it. You know, they made a whole series.
About a family that owned a funeral home.
Yes.
All right. So unpacking.
Yes,
right?
Unpacking.
What it is. Where was I going with that? unpacking with what it is you learned?
Yes, from every single guest.
I learn, you know, it's funny. Like, yeah, I guess I do too. But you are way more cerebral. Did I even pronounce it right?
Cerebral.
Yeah, that too. Mm-hmm. You're way more that than I, and you process things differently, right? Like you're a much deeper thinker, right?
Yeah, but I don't know that it's about deeper thinking. I think it's because my work, because what I do with the kids I work with is about helping them find their story. And it's made me realize that everybody has a story, because oftentimes I have kids who come in and say things like, my life is so vanilla. I have no story. And I'm like, yes, you do. Everybody has a story.
So how do you get the story out of them? How do you coach it out of them? Like, do you ask about relationships with like parents and friends? Like, that's got
to
be tough.
Honestly, I get to know them to a certain extent first. So I get a chance to get to know what they do, what kinds of activities they're involved in, you know, and over a short period of time, I'm able to get to a place where I have a good enough sense of who they are that we can look at some key questions. And by the process of elimination, really get to a question or a couple of questions that allow kids to do a little bit of deep diving and digging.
So in this process that you have, and I'm giving props to your Canadianship, in this process that you have kids ever had a eureka moment, like a coming out moment, a holy shit, I never thought of it that way moment? It's part of your essay writing for them is somewhat self-development for themselves as well, right?
No, absolutely it is. I mean, I think that a lot of the work that I do is almost like, I mean, and I'm not a therapist in any way, but it's like talking kids through stuff that has been hard. Right? Like, it doesn't matter if you're 8 years old, right? Or if you're 88 years old, at various points in time, we encounter hard things and we are able to do hard things, whether it's having 20 extra pounds of weight on you as you run every morning, or whether it's learning to build a fire and becoming good at it, or whether it's facing the chaos of your finances or learning to drive for the first time, right? Like all of those things represent something hard that you come to terms with. And by way of coming to terms with it, you find empowerment.
You know, it's funny about doing something hard in the way you come to terms with it. I just recently read something. You know, the verbiage isn't exact, but it said something to the effect of you really don't know what you're capable of until you're put in that position.
Correct.
Right? Whether it is hardship, whether it is mental hardship or physical hardship. So, you know, like you need to get out of a situation. Like I don't think a lot of people are tested in that way. And when you are tested in that way, there's no internal conversation of, oh, I don't know if I can do this or not, but I think it's like a survival instinct, right?
Yes, you just do it.
Correct. So we're kind of recanting a little bit on some guests that we've had. So, and Thomas was one of our more recent, so of course my old man memory, I remember him first. But Thomas walks into the studio. He's not old. Right? And he's not boring.
He was never old, nor was he ever boring.
So I loved his outfit. And Thomas, so you know, we're gonna twin.
Like next time you come in to talk to us, Thomas.
Or we go to you, or we go meet your family, or we break bread.
Yes, we should break bread.
I'm twinning. I already have your outfit. I took a picture of you and I bought it.
Yes.
I don't have the beard though. How do you get the beard?
You have to grow it, but I don't want you to grow a beard.
I have facial hair like Cliff Clavin from Cheers.
So you have patches of facial hair?
I get patches. I look like Wolf Boy. Yeah.
Wolf Boy.
Yeah. Yeah. My patchy beard, thankfully, does not grow well.
Okay, so you liked Tom best of recent episodes?
Wait, let's go back to the last five. You have a better memory than I do. I like Debo. So Debo from the Young Musicians of Miami, whatever.
Young Musicians Unite.
Okay, so I finally saw a picture of the kid. He looks like Robert Plant.
He does look like Robert Plant.
Dude, he's got the hair, he's got the flavor, he's got the style.
Yep.
Looks a lot like Robert Plant.
He does look a lot like Robert Plant.
And who was Gina? I like Gina a lot because Gina's a smartass, right?
I love Gina.
And don't you say in Massachusetts, hot ticket.
Right? She's a hot ticket.
She's a hot ticket. And who else was there in the last five or six? What are we thinking about? You can't, can you?
I can't even. Hold on. I have to.
David, who were the last five or six?
Hold on.
Oh, David's asleep. Engineer was asleep on the ones and twos of steel. Excellent. What? Who?
I loved the episode that aired shortly after, that aired last week, basically, Jack Alieri. He is our AI developer who is going to change the world by, you know, creating a, or, you know, building and launching a tutoring app.
He's a 17-year-old who was sitting here, right?
Yes.
Kid is friggin' wicked smart, right?
Yes. Like, yes.
My daughter should be dating him.
No, he's maybe dating.
He's too short for her.
No, he's not.
He's average height. He's average height.
And your daughter's tiny. Short enough. Yes. But we're not going there because okay. Jack is taken. And your daughter will be taken too.
Okay.
Shortly.
All right. Why, do you know something about
that? No, I'm sure.
Wait a second.
No, I know nothing.
Are you
I
sure?
truly know nothing.
Okay. Well, you actually do know a lot.
But I don't know anything about that.
All right. Let's talk about Dave McGilvery.
I love Dave McGilvery.
He is a local.
Like, I would say he's an international celebrity who literally made Runner's Magazine as the first person to run across country to fundraise for a cause. That is a big freaking deal.
I still think.
He started running programs in prisons. Like, that's amazing.
Two things. One of the funniest stories he told us about the running program in the prison where he was actually winning the race. And the internal conversation he was having with himself as he was winning, which is like, oh, my God, I can't win this. Like,
yeah, they're going to beat the shit out of me.
Exactly. So I think, like, he, like, slowed up on purpose. Yes. And, like, he tripped. But he eventually did win.
He did win.
You can't win your own race. Like, is that a thing? It's like
well,
kind of like.
No.
It's
well,
like
he
great.
Did, but like he wasn't thinking he was going to win. He thought that the other guys, but the other guys dropped out.
It's like grading your own homework. I'm going to give myself 100.
Yes, I know.
Every single time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you grade your own homework?
No.
No?
No. I kind of want to have our kids on at some point, I will say.
Listen. All right. Before we get into that, let's talk about McGilvery one more thing. Okay. So if the directors, if Tom Hanks is listening to this podcast, I think you really need to return Dave McGilvery's phone calls, right? Because you stole the idea of Forrest Gump from Dave McGilvery. Not the idea necessarily of Forrest Gump, but a very major part of it when he ran across country. And I know McGilvery had reached out, yes. But his calls have gone unanswered. Mr. Hanks, please reach out. Your friends, Mark and Christine.
Yes, indeed. We are hoping, I believe, to try seeing what it's like to transition to video.
Yes.
Which would be interesting because considering all of the food we consume during the course of a recording session, all of which are sweets and savories, people might not want to see that.
Well, who cares? Whatever. They want to see the antics. But if we're recording video, we're sitting in front of a Zoom, like how animated can I be?
I'm sure you can be animated.
Yes. Yes, you should see me.
You should see your facial expressions even when you are sitting on a regular Zoom.
You know, I think KRS-One from Boogie Down Productions said it best, right? When I'm on the mic, I like to be loose, right?
Loose.
You can't script me, kid. You can't, or you shouldn't. I have guardrails.
Dude, we don't try.
Dude, we didn't even script this episode.
We never script an episode.
As a matter of fact, what music were we listening to coming in here? We were doing, like, old school 80s again.
Yes, 80s.
We were doing, well, is Creep 80s from Radiohead? Is
that maybe 90s?
All right. Tears of Fears.
Eurythmics.
Okay, does anyone know there's Annie Lennox and who is the other guy from the Eurythmics?
Dave, what is David's last name on the Eurythmics?
Did you?
Yes. It's David. Yeah, nobody ever knows his last name. No, David.
It's something uncommon, you know.
Hold on. Annie Lennox.
Is he British? There they are.
Eurythmics. Annie Lennox and English musician Dave Stewart. So here's my question, and I don't think Mark was able to answer it. Were they a thing? Like,
mm-mm. Were they dating?
Were Dave Stewart and Annie Lennox, like, dating? Correct.
I don't think so. But thinking about Stewart, presidential nominee who doesn't want to be president.
Oh, yes.
So he said...
Mark Stewart with a K.
He spells it wrong. All right, but that's all right. He was fun, right? Boisterous, opinionated.
Yes.
Wants to be in a running in Vermont, but doesn't want the job. He just wants to give people an opportunity or an option to vote other than one or the other, right?
Well, no, other than Biden for the liberal spot, the Democratic nominee. Position. That's what he was hoping for.
Now, I do not want to get political in this show, but I have to ask, why has no one competed against Biden for the Democratic spot? Like, not even a whisper. I haven't heard anything. For the Republican spot, everyone was out in droves. Chris Christie and Nikki Haley and everyone else. How come no one has seemingly competed for the Democratic spot?
Maybe they wanted to see whether Trump was going to get that spot and whether they needed to, like,
I don't know.
Produce a secret weapon. Please produce a secret weapon.
Shh, we're not getting political.
Okay. Produce a secret weapon.
I'm going to do a Thomas
Democratic
Libby.
Party.
A Thomas Libby impersonation. This is how he likes to talk sometimes.
He does sound like that.
I know.
He sounds kind of British.
Speaking of... Not British, but Scottish. He was one of our first. He looked nervous when he was in here.
No, he did
yes,
not.
He
Paul?
Did. Yes, he did.
No. Paul is never nervous.
Actually, maybe I was nervous because he's a much better dresser than I was.
Yes.
Or am.
Yes.
He's European. He's like cool hair, cool pants, nice top.
Nice sweater.
Nice sneakers.
Yes.
Runners, as they like to say.
Uh-huh. How about Dan Swift?
Oh, love Dan Swift. Love Dan Swift. Dan, props, my brother. I do love Dan Swift. Like, as a human being, he is one of the best.
Well, and he's such an empowering individual. Just, like, watching his posts since we spoke with him.
Sure.
He is like a people's person.
Sure.
And he is like a people's champion.
He had a post yesterday, because yesterday was International Women's Day.
I didn't see that.
And the picture was his wife, who is gorgeous, and his daughter, who is a beauty. And I was just like, damn, Dan, you've done good. You've done good, kid, you know? It was nice to see. I always read his stuff. There's a few people... on LinkedIn that I look forward to seeing their comments, and he is one of those people.
No, he's great. He's great.
What about...
I texted with Dave Bowler yesterday.
Oh, how is Mr. Bowler?
Mr. Bowler is continuing to support the Alzheimer's cause.
All right.
And so we talked about going to the Alzheimer's fundraiser in September, and I've committed you to go.
So... Here's something about Christine. I am eating something. I barely know what I want to have for dinner on the evening of the dinner. And Christine's like, so what are we doing in September? I'm like, I have no idea. Like, September? Like, well, it's a bowler Alzheimer's thing. I'm like, all right, yeah, all right, let's do it. But you're already thinking about, like, the birthday in June.
That's a big birthday, June.
No, it's not that big.
55 is big.
Delete. Fucking delete.
Especially since you're older than I am.
And have fewer gray hairs.
I don't have gray hairs right now because I've colored my hair.
I don't have to color my
hair. I know.
I got the gene.
Yes, you do.
I got the gene.
Now, yeah. Is that gene from your mom or from your dad?
It's my mom.
Shout out to Flo.
Flossie in the house. Also, I work on myself.
You do work on yourself. I work on myself, too.
I know. I work a little harder. Maybe.
Maybe.
Some days.
In different ways.
In different ways.
Yes.
All right. Give me two more guests that...
I want to give a shout out to Leanne Mitchell.
Oh, the Hop Center for the Arts?
No, Leanne Mitchell, our yogi.
Oh, Leanne, I need to be assisted when I go to your studio. That's my only request, that I get an assist, please. Thank
and he
you.
Has not been to yoga yet, Leanne, but we will get him there.
Well, she said she doesn't give assists, and they have to ask specifically. So I want to make sure
She told you on the episode that she would give you an assist.
Yeah, but I think she was saying that just to be cool. You know what I mean? Right?
Just to humor you?
Yes.
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 Probably.
Okay.
I can give you an assist.
All right. So who was Hop Center of the Arts?
Kelly. So, Kelly Grill.
So Kelly, I learned more things about myself that I'm actually a thespian. Right.
And an artist.
And an artist. And I put artist on my LinkedIn profile.
He did.
Artiste. I even give it a little, maybe, what is it called? A tilde? You know, like in the word of voila, like artiste.
No, there's no such thing. Sorry.
Okay, excellent. All right. Next was.
I'm trying to think of one other. Well, we have to talk a little bit about.
The first?
Well, we have to talk about my friend Tisha. We have to give a shout out to Michael, who was our first.
What up, Michael?
And we do have to talk about Vic.
Legina.
You enjoyed that particular podcast quite a bit.
I could have gone on and on and on about Vic Legina. And we actually might see him next week in Las Vegas.
Yes, right? That would be very, very fun.
Yes. So Vic, everyone might remember, is a pornography director. Right? No, not a director.
A producer of adult entertainment.
Pornography. All right. For the layperson. And what's interesting about Vic,
also an author.
Yes.
Because that is why we met him.
Correct. Correct. Vic, and I immediately went into 13-year-old boy mode.
Yes, right, you did.
When we were talking to him. I was just like, oh, my God, here we go. That's one of my more favorite episodes. And we got some stuff lined up today, too, that a couple of guests that are really interesting.
Yes.
That I'm going to grill. I'm going to grill one or two.
Yes, you are. You are. I do want to also give a shout out to Mike Peschler before we.
Pesh. Pesh
all
in the
fucking
house.
Day, Pesh.
Jesus.
That's what we used to say.
All fucking day.
All fucking day. AFD.
So Pesh has got decent videos, right?
His videos, decent? I think his videos are really good.
That's what I mean. Decent. Should I say it differently? Pesh. Mr.
Pesh,
Peschler.
You have excellent videos.
You have amazing videos. Yes. Self-tutorials. I think there's even one of like him cooking, right? Or there's a video on
nutrition.
He cooks.
He talks about healthy eating. He demos stuff. He talks about his workouts. He's an empowerment guy, and
he's huge,
yeah. But he is moving to downtown Hopkinton.
Really?
He's moving his operation to downtown Hopkinton.
It's growing.
It is growing.
It's more centralized. People can get to him. It's probably got more square footage.
Athletic Strength Training Nation.
What up?
Yes.
Shit.
All right, so what happy else? 50th.
Oh, is that it?
That's it.
You cut me off?
I'm cutting you off.
45 minutes done?
We don't need 45 minutes.
We're at 45 minutes now.
Almost.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Christine. S. Christine Chapman O.
S. Christine O. Chapman.
S. Christine O. Chapman. Yes. Very good.
Mark Lawrence Fierce.
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 Jesus.
The Fierce Fierce.
The Viking. All right.
The Viking, the number one Viking.
50 out. Be on or be aware of 50 plus coming.
We're not going away anytime soon.
Hell no.
Join us every week on the Zero Hour at 0000 on Sundays. So if you're coming home late from the bar on Saturday night, you can stay up and listen to us.
You'll at least get a laugh, for sure.
Yes.
Our antics. All right. Thanks, y'all. Talk to you later. Peace.